2 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is Radio Verulam, and we're not in Soul Towers this evening. We're in the Kearneys, London Kearney to be precise, where we're actually in the studio where they've recorded the brand new album St Albans Funk. I have the guys here. We have Tony, who's written most of the songs, along with Mo and Brian, and he's the one who's played host to us because his studio. Finally, Mish. So, first, Tony, how did it all start?
Hi. A little bit of a story. I've been a massive music fan since I was a toddler, and always thought I'd be involved in music somehow. I actually got involved in the industry by building a studio in Luton many years ago with my brother. Paul Young was the first person to record there. And then we got involved in... My brother got involved in music publishing, and we got involved in supplying equipment to people. I went on my own way in 89 and started my own brand, TL Audio, and sold studio equipment around the world for 23 years. But over the years, I've had ideas for songs, but not playing an instrument. I'd sort of write the songs to myself. I could sing them to myself. I could sing them to you, my own songs. But I can't play any music along with them. So I decided that I would go and see an old school friend who I hadn't seen for 20 years, Brian Smith from The Push. He was playing in a local band in St Albans. And in the break, I told him about these ideas I've got for songs. So Brian said, come along to my studio and sing them to me. Let's see what you got. So the following week, I did that. And he liked some of the songs, to my amazement. And we started recording, like one day a week. And it went really well. Then... A few months later, about 6 months later, I was invited to a birthday party for Mo Pleasure, who Mo is the musical director for Bette Midler, who was playing at the O2. And went along to the birthday party, met Mo very briefly, met some of his friends, and he had a barbecue, and his band from playing with Bette Midler and the singers. It's a fantastic party. And then Mo started doing an open mic session for professional musicians every week, every Sunday, which I'd go along to and making lots of friends there. Me and Mo became really good friends. And I told him about what I was doing with Brian and said, would you like to listen to some stuff? Maybe, I wouldn't believe it, it would, but maybe play on one of our tracks. So me and Brian went along and played a few tracks. Mo played on 3 of the songs. And we liked what we were doing. And so joined us as writers for these songs. Now, all these songs come from influences in my life. So they sort of tell us a sort of a story. But they're things that, everyday things that people come across. So I think people will relate to them.
That's brilliant. So I mean, what fascinates me is the fact that that you're all local, actually in St Albans. I've been here 24 odd years, and I just haven't heard of any of this, and it's sort of like a real discovery. So, you know, how long have you been sort of writing songs and
me? Well, this whole thing sort of started sort of 3.5 years ago, roughly. Started before that with my ideas for songs, but when I hooked up with Brian, that's when it sort of got moving and the songs started taking shape, and we started recording them. But we've not been working on them every day, and we've got some real great professional musicians. On our recordings, for example, we've got Freddie V, who plays saxophone with an Average White Band. So he flew in from America. We collected him from the airport, had him here for a day, woke him up between songs because he had jet lag. And so that's sort of taken a bit of time to get the right people, catch them when they're available. So it's taken a bit of time. But a year ago, we decided that the album was coming together and we should perform it, launch the album, perform it as a show. So we booked the arena. And that's what we've been working up to, the launch on the 25th.
Excellent. Brian, how's how's the album coming?
We're close to finishing, which is great. We've been recording probably for 3 years, getting on for that. But we're pretty close, just on the final sessions now and some mixing. And then it'll be out there and ready.
Brilliant. And Mo, how's the band? I listened to it last Sunday. Fabulous, I have to say.
Thanks for coming. Really appreciate that, Derek. But I think the band is going to be just great because you see how people react to it, you know, in a small club situation. So now I'm really excited what happens when we have like lights and video and, you know, huge video screen behind us and all that. And we really get pauses in the show where they're, or I should say points in the show where the band is featured, members of the band are featured just as they were, you know, in small club situations. So I'm excited.
And the Auburn Arena is big. I mean, you don't realise how big it is until you actually, you know. Anyway, Brian, what's been your favourite track of the album so far?
My personal favourite is a track called Fat Funk.
Great, let's hear it. Fat Funk, what a song. Tony, I suppose I really ought to ask you, as the writer of a lot of these songs, which is your favourite?
Okay, it's a bit like asking me to pick my favourite child, but St Albans Funk maybe, not only if they're good. St Albans Funk sort of came about because us putting the show on at the arena, there's a lot behind that. When we were teenagers, we used to go there, and Graham Kensley, who has the Hello Sailor Soul Disco, who's playing at our show, the pre-show disco, and 7 till 8, and then 10 till 1 follows on. He's there, but back in the day when I was like 15, I used to go to the, what was the called the Civic then, it's now called the Arena. And they used to have great Motown acts on there. That Supremes played there, chairman of the board. Graham was the DJ back in the day there. So that was a place we used to go as teenagers. And it's appropriate that we're going back there now with this show. It's sort of, things gone sort of full circle. So St Albans Funk, if you listen to the words, you'll hear it's about going to the Civic Hall on a Saturday night, Kung Fu Fighting. That was on the cinema, and everyone was Kung Fu Fighting in the street. Yeah. And all the people it's mentioned in the song, it's all the music we used to listen to. Graham used to play it as just going in the days.
That's why I wanted it as a theme, because effectively it's all the stuff I play, which is quite nice. Mm.
So it was funk. And I said to Brian a few months back that I'm writing this funk song for the people of St Albans. It's going to be about the arena. And so sung a bit to Brian. He started writing the music. And sung my bit to Brian, started writing the music. And we started getting the words together and all these artists. And Misha started working with us. So I gave her a list of all these different artists from the day, and she then formed that into the vocal part, the main vocal part for the song. So that's how it came about.
St. Albans Funk.
Yo, it's Mo P up here in the St. A right here, trying to get that funk going down with y'all. I heard about y'all funk up here, and I was thinking I'd come up here and check it out for a minute.
We got the funk, St. Hey. Albans Funk.
St. Albans Funk. Come on. Woo.
Night as we hit St. Albans Civic Hall, we Kung Fu Fight, Luther Shaka, Funkadelic, Temptations, Bootsy too. He got the Tower of Power, James Brown, Puffin's gonna press who bad for you. Hey, hey,
yeah, Meesh, I'm talking about y'all.
It's funk.
St. Albans, y'all.
Hey,
and Meesh, tell him about it.
We got the funk,
right?
We got the funk.
Yes, we do.
Albans funk.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I was thinking on y'all's funk for a while.
Everybody's getting down to chic, that freak. Are you ready to do the bus stop? Can you feel the city move? Yeah. As the night is getting funky, we're moving to the South Stone Band. Fat Band, Red Payback, we're doing the bus stop. Everybody scream.
So, Mish, how does your bit work in the show?
Well, I'm chosen to be the musical storyteller. It's because I don't stop talking, basically. And, you know, as a narrator, you know, in between songs, we're going to narrate about, you know, what the songs were about and, you know, what they relate to Tony and stuff. I'm singing about four songs in the show. It's going to be a great show, you know, audience participation. And yeah, it's just going to be one big party on stage. So I was really pleased when I met Tony and Mo. And I met Mo and Tony through interviewing them for Soho Radio. And as I interviewed them, you know, eventually after the interview, we just became friends and stuff and done a lot of stuff together. And, you know, went to go and see Mo playing, you know, regularly and stuff. And then Tony was just like, you know, I've got some music here and some lyrics. You know, do you want to get involved? And it was like a massive yes. I was only meant to just sing one song. You wrote one track for me, and then it just sort of snowballed into musical mayhem, and I loved it. And now they will never get rid of me, ever. Evil laugh.
Were you singing on the St Albans Funk?
Yes, I'm singing St Albans Funk.
I love that. It's a fantastic tune.
You know, that is going to be a tune that goes down in history.
That's what I'm going to use it for.
Seriously, exactly, yeah. And also, you know, people are assuming this is a musical. It's not a musical theatre show. It's a music show with a story to tell. So there's great singers, you know, great musicians, and it's just going to be a real lively show. And
excellent. The third element, of course, Mo, your excellent band. Tell us about them.
Yeah, the band is amazing. I mean, I play with this band quite often and have for the last few years. So, you know, we're all friends, we're all family at this point. I've got on keyboards Mr. Luke Smith, who's, we call him the maestro. There'd be none better in England or otherwise. You know, I mean, it's literally like having Herbie Hancock or something in your band. And he's been musical director for George Michael, you know, Floa Tree, so many other great, great acts. And, you know, the people call him when they come through here. Then I've got, I'll be playing bass myself and synth bass and a little bit of piano and such. I've got a percussionist. His name is Tuca Milan. She's from Brazil and she's amazing. Actually kind of magical. Our drummer is Jack Pollitt, who's got a huge resume, I just love playing with him. Our sax player is named Jamie Michael Harris, and he's played, it'd just be too long to give his resume as well. I'm trying to think, who did I forget? Two guitar players. One of them is Brian Smith, to my left. We don't need to say much more about him, because he's actually, you know, in on the actual creation of the whole thing, so and a mother guitar player, so and we also have another guitar player as well, Mike Brown, who's Mike was with George George Michael as well, and many others as well, and he still continues to be one of the top players in the industry.
Now, I've lost count, so how many musicians is that on stage, you think?
Yeah, and then, you know, the extra added, not to interrupt, Dave, but we have actually a string section as well, led by Tina Lynn Jacobs and two other great players as well. So it's going to be a spectacle, you know, it's going to be a big, large production.
So how many musicians is that on stage? It's got to be about 15, I think.
It's about the strings. It's the London String Group. They're called.
Yeah,
they play with many big artists. Around the world. Really?
Yeah, everybody that comes through London hires them to be their top. You know, their call, and we use them on everything we do here. They're all over the album.
Fantastic, and there's lots of great singers as well.
Yeah, there sure are. And a matter of fact, you know, we've been able to work with them here in the studio on all the tracks, you know. So you'll be seeing live the same singers that are on the recordings, such as, you know, Kedma, who's an incredible singer. She's from Wales. Stacey Caswell, who's part of The Push right here. Very famous in the St. Albans area and beyond. Katie Hurd, who's an incredible country artist. Gwy Jones, Ivy Chanel, who actually fronts my band, as you saw her perform the other day. My girl Lidiana, who I've actually done some production on her own album, and she brings a whole other flavor, and as well as Melissa James, who is a wonderful artist as well, and Craig Garrett as well, who's done a lot of work in this area and beyond. So we're looking forward to it.
Did you have to chase anyone down, or was everyone beating a path to your door?
Well, I think it was, you know, it kind of happened organically, you know, with just about everybody, you know, every one of the artists kind of showed up at the right time. And, you know, sometimes it was me saying, hey, you know, I know somebody that this might fit. And sometimes it would be like, say, a live performance where maybe Tony and Brian would say, hey, who's that? You know, let's work with them. And, you know, or it might have been a recommendation by Brian from someone that he already knew. So it's like our network keeps expanding because it's coming from so many different directions.
So, Tony, when you're writing the songs, do you have a particular singer in mind, or does the singer just...
Sometimes, as a song sort of develops, there's a couple of country songs. There's one that's in the show called Traveller Song. I was actually abroad and just thinking about old friends who we all sort of go in life travelling, you know. And it just naturally felt like a country song. And Katie was the first choice. Mo's been working with her. She was nominated as a UK Country Singer of the Year, had an iTunes number one of her own songs, and just lovely person, great performer, great voice. So she was the obvious choice for that one. So sometimes that sort of happens. You think a song was particularly suit a person. Hell Is Empty is one song that me and Brian were sort of writing here, a really sort of big, powerful song about war. And we'd met Kedma. She'd sung at one of the charity shows that Mo was putting on in London. And Kedma came along just to meet Brian and see the studio. And she just sang it and just blew us away. So powerful. So she stayed with us and done other, more songs, more work with us. So we've got like a family growing, really, of great professional musicians and artists.
And is the plan when you've got the album out to sort of do a tour or grow it further?
Yeah, we've not booked anything other than the arena to start off with. The arena is like the launch of the album. It may become available then. But we're just taking our time. So, yeah, we will be performing it. But also the whole show, part of the plan is to license it abroad. So we get the word out, then have people performing our songs. But certainly, yeah, we'd love to put it on again as much as we can, really. It's just, yeah.
And is everyone involved pretty local, or do you have people having to come from far and wide?
Well, we're local, but the singers all come from, most of them from different areas. A few of them mostly from London. Gwion, though, is in Aberystwyth. He's coming a fair old way. but yeah, not too far away.
So, if you want to find out all about St Albans Funk, they've got an excellent website and some brilliant videos on there as well. Mish, I think you actually made those.
Yeah, I mean, we do everything together as a group. We do. And came up with the idea that, you know, we need to get some videos made, and I don't mind dabbling in moving imagery. So Brian happily said we could use the studio. We got some green screens in and we got the artist in, and we just made some really great, colourful, fun, lively videos. I mean, I've done the video for St Albans Funk. We made the video for the trailer. There's a video for Babs on its way shortly. Very colourful and quirky, because Lidiana is a fantastic, animated, beautiful young lady. And yeah, I mean, all the filming, everything we're doing in this show, we're all doing ourselves, kind of thing, because we've all got other talents apart from looking fantastic. I beg your pardon.
Yeah, who's so, laughing there?
We're utilising all our skills, you know, just to bring together this great collaboration of music and stuff.
So who's filming the actual show on the 25th? Because it can't be you, because you're
not
on stage.
Not me, no.
Is somebody doing it, though?
That's all organised, yeah.
Yeah, it's all in hand, yeah. We have a great man called Kian, who you may have seen some pictures of Mo around with his bass, and also spinning a trumpet, which Kian took in his studio. Yeah. Amazing pictures. He actually won the award for the trumpet photograph. So Kian is in charge of the filming, so we should end up with the whole show captured on film.
That'd be brilliant. Will that be sort of up on the website too? I mean, you need a big website for that.
Well, it's going to be, it's a 2-hour show, so yeah. Probably 2 months editing. Yeah. So, we haven't defined the plans for that yet, but we are going to capture it because it's a big event. You know, it'd be a shame not to. So it'd be something very special. I have had Earth, Wind & Fire fans contacting me asking if it's going to be available after the show. So, you know, we'll see. Also, we should end up with a live album.
And Babs, the one we've got the video for soon, is one of your favourites, Tony, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Just naturally it seemed to be a reggae song from when I wrote it. I used to drive through Hitchin on the way to work years ago, past Babs Beauty Salon. And it just intrigued me, and it sort of developed in my head into a song. It's not there anymore, and the song isn't about that particular place. But it's an interesting song about an interesting beauty salon where they end up in the tub.
Certain antics that happen, yes.
Well, if someone's quite clever, they'll open up a new one, won't they? With a name, because of all the extra publicity.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Let's hear it. Saw this man.
Soul Show.
So, Brian, while we're in your studio, I'm fascinated to know how you actually go about making an album. You know, okay. can you get the entire band here in one go, or I'm guessing you sort of do it in bits and pieces?
On this particular project, it started with the writing of the songs and getting an outline. Then we put a core team together, really, that was myself, Mo and Tony. And yes, you're quite right, we brought people in mostly on a separate basis. So we'd have a drummer come in for a couple of days, or, you know, a keyboard player or a horn section or whatever. All through people that, in the main, that Mo had been working with. So we've been privileged, really privileged, with some of the people that have been through the door here. Mark Mondeser deserves a mention.
Yeah, Mark.
Mark's been a bit poorly, but he's played drums on this album on, four or five tracks. I mean, he's world class, you know, goes with Jeff Beck and John McLaughlin and that kind of level, Courtney Pine. And it's been the same all the way through. Some of the horn guys we've had, we've got a guy from the Average White Band, Freddie, who come in. But the core team has been us three, really. And then, of course, we've had these wonderful vocalists, including Mish, who's here today, who set it alight, you know, really, really did sort of give it a new kick. But the process, yeah, it's been quite a long one, because sometimes you have to wait for these major talents to be available. But it's been absolute joy to work with them all.
Do you have to start with the drums, and then the guitarist hears the drums and adds on, or can they just play in isolation?
By the time we get them here, we've pretty much got it how we want it, using, you know, our own skills, you know. And quite often, like, if I had written a song with Tony, I would send it to Mo and ask him to kindly remove everything I've done and put his whole...
Not everything, but
you know, I mean, he's world-class keyboard player and bass player and everything else, to be honest. But and that was the same then, so the drums would come off and Mark would play, or, you know, whoever else we've used. So the guys have pretty much worked to a fairly solid template each time. Yeah, we've not started from scratch with outside musicians.
So it must be a pretty special moment when you've got all the instruments recorded separately, and you're sitting in here and you're mixing it all down in one go. So yeah. I guess you're all around for that.
Sometimes. I mean, I over the years that I've been doing this, which is a number of them, I like to work where I'll put something together, which I'll be very unprecious about, and send it to the guy and say, right, can we have some comments? Because there's a lot of technical stuff involved with getting mixes together. And they don't want to be sitting here while I'm sorting out compressors and EQs and all that nonsense, you know. But when it comes to balance and what they want to hear, then yes, we are all involved. And Mo's creative, you know, he quite often thinks of things that I haven't thought of. And Tony knows what he likes with regard to, you know, his current favourite is having the strings as high as possible.
Love them strings.
This is his favourite thing. But I do believe as well, you can't really mix by committee, but you can make sure everybody's got, you know, a little bit of what they want in it.
And is the album going to be pressed as well?
I understand. Yeah, I mean, again, I hand back to Tony for that. I will hand him the mixes over.
Yeah, it will be. We tend to bring out vinyl. The thing is, with vinyl, you can't have as many tracks as a CD. So we'll be selecting the tracks for the album, which would be, is it six aside or something, roughly? Six tracks aside?
On an album, yeah. I think we'll probably get five or six aside.
So it'll be 12 on the album, roughly. And the CD will have a lot more. CD will be about 22.
That was my next question, actually. Exactly how many tracks on the
album? It's not totally finalised, but roughly in the show is 22. Songs.
And I suppose each of those tracks is important for your story.
Well, the story really, each song is a story in itself. It's got a little story and a meaning. So you could take some out or you could add more in, you know. We have actually written quite a few more songs than we've got in the show. But the show is 2 hours long and that's, you know, people don't want to sit there for 4 hours. Unless you serve dinner in between, perhaps. so we've got enough. We've got enough for a full-on show, really.
Fabulous. And our fourth track, "Romance Is Dead." Who's?
Yeah. You know, well, the songs really are from influences in my life and observations of other people's lives. So this really is just a general thing. In fact, this song came from. I was watching Breakfast TV and Holly Willoughby. Something happened on the programme. She said, romance isn't dead. She said, romance isn't dead. And I sort of screamed at the TV, oh, yes, it is. And so I wrote the song, Romance is Dead. So it's about a love that's sort of died, really. And it's something that many people would have experienced. So that's the thing about the song. None of them are contrived. They've all got a meaning to them. And you'll hear it. It's a beautiful song with strings, then lovely strings on. And Stacey. Love your vocal.
We'll listen out for the strings. They're nicely high in the...
yeah, beautiful strings. Yeah.
They're very high. Right up there.
Yeah, but it's a song with meaning and hopefully it'll touch some people's hearts and they'll relate to it.
You melt my heart. You touch my soul. You make me humble. Me whole. You drive me crazy. You make me say. You make me happy. You kill my pain.
Lovely song, Romance is Dead. Now, with the going back to recording, Brian, yes. All the, you know, do all these famous international artists make their way to London Coney, or do they send you?
Well, in the main, funnily enough, they do. I got told off, actually, by some of the neighbours for not letting them know that certain people were here.
I mean, the limo up to your drive, I mean, it's a bit of a tight corner there. How does that work?
Well, yeah.
It happens.
But in the main, they do come here, but we keep it quiet. Obviously, we keep the studio fairly quiet, to be honest. But we have done some transatlantic things, you know, when Mo's been in America and unable to be back here with us, we've been doing the transatlantic file sharing thing, which was fun. And it's a really great way of working, you know, very, very modern and quite inspiring. And we also were fortunate to get a friend of Mo's, a guitar player called Jeff Pivar, to play on one of the tracks for us. I'll let Mo tell you about who he is, because he's quite something.
Yeah, I've known Jeff for since I was about 17, 18 years old, and I've toured with him around the world in several bands, including we started with Ray Charles together back in 86. And he's worked with everyone from James Taylor to, oh my God, I don't even know where to start.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash,
he's still with them. And a matter of fact, has a band called CPR with David Crosby of his own. But anyway, the story is we were working on a country tune, and it was perfect for pedal steel guitar. And I called Jeff up, kind of like, hey, can you, and he was in he's in California. So do you have any time where you could just lay a track down on here? And he did. He sent it back to us, you know, through the internet, and we put it on there, and it just fit perfectly, really.
Yeah, that was a moment for me. I mean, that was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, special.
Yeah, so it's like even in technology, we're all like kind of connected on a worldwide level.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, actually that's kind of one of the themes of the... I would say, of St. Albans Funk, actually. It's like the connectivity of the world. And,
yeah. You know. You're listening to Radio Verulam, 92.6 FM. We're still here in London Coney. And we're going to talk about the final track from the album that we're going to play. Tony, tell us about it.
Hell is Empty came about at a time when there was so much in the news about the war in Syria and other wars as well, actually. And I was walking down Baker Street just thinking about this, and walked down Oxford Street going to a meeting, and walked past one of the big stores, and they had each window was a scene from Dickens, and one of them was from The Tempest, and it had the heading Hell is Empty, All the Devils Are Here. And I thought that's appropriate, really, all the war. And so as I carried on my journey down Oxford Street, I started writing this song, Hell is Empty and All the Devils Are Here. And carried on the verse from the Shakespeare's two lines. Just about war, really, and how people suffer, and about children, how it affects children's lives, and just how bad war and selfish it is.
Well, I always like to end on a high note.
Let's hear it. Sorry to depress you.
Fighting.
Hell is Empty, one of the great tracks from the album that, when do we think it's going to be released, gents?
Well, we're pressing around the 20th, I guess, something like that.
Yeah, the plan is to have it at the show on the 25th. Yeah.
All right, actually, so if you go down to the show, you could actually buy the CD there and then.
Yeah, and also to download it from the website. You can be able to buy it from the website.
Oh,
also.
Right, brilliant. Right, we've run out of time now. I must say, thank you for being on the show, and thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Very kind.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.